Cleveland, IXY.
Howdy, Xers. Welcome to MarketScope for August 2012. This month we visit Scott Shannon's Pirate Radio, KQLZ, Los Angeles.
Radio Bengals in Chateau at 3:49, ready to crank a full hour, totally commercial free. And this one is brought to you in part by the wonderful human beings at Dashers Insurance. We'll crank it up next on Pirate Radio. Hang on.
Everyone needs auto insurance, but not everyone can afford to pay their insurance up front. So if you need auto insurance and want to spread...
Well, I guess it's done.
Come to the new Kmart opening November 19th at San Fernando Boulevard and Delaware Street in Burbank. And get Kmart
Love Brand. Connection.
You'll love it Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock on LA's Channel 9.
But we do this five times a week. Think we're weird?
Pirate Radio reminds employers that Cal State University Long Beach has a free job listing service. For more information, call KQLZ Los Angeles.
Pirate Radio.
Free Shadows on with the rock and roll concert news. B-52's already sold out two shows. They put them on sale this weekend for January 3rd and 4th up at the Universal Amphitheater. Those are gone. They added a third show. We just checked with the box office. There are just a handful of tickets left for that third one. So go gobble them up now if you want to go. Coming up later, we'll have free ones on Pirate Radio. We got a private party with the B-52s and stuff coming up too. So get ready to check that out. If you're going to be at the Hard Rock Cafe tonight for our private show with Bang Tango, you might want to go home and get a nap. Doesn't start till about midnight, but I see you out there. Here's Bad English on Pirate Radio.
Sometimes I wonder how I'd ever make it. Smile at me.
Ooh, you're sexing me.
Radio. And a $10,000 free money jungle song.
Welcome to the jungle.
Every time you hear Welcome to the Jungle by Guns N' Roses, wait until it's over and then dial 1-800-742-2100. If you're caller 100, you'll win $10,000 free money jungle song between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. only on Pirate Radio.
You are listening to another Monday Sucks broadcast on Pirate Radio. The least we can do is get you some of those hot new rock and roll pirate shirts. Put a six-pack up for grabs here on the studio line. 1-800-742-2100. If you haven't won anything from us in the last 20 days, you got them. Good luck from 100.3 FM. And Shadow 649 ready to go hit the streets and rock. Standing by for Cadillac Jackie is next with another full hour commercial free brought to you in part by Ski Dazzle. I'll see you down at the Hard Rock for that Bang Tango show tonight. Have a good one. Bye.
Beginning tonight at 7, there's an hour of first run laughs on Channel 5.
On Fox. Don't miss an unforgettable episode of 21 Jump Street tonight at 8 o'clock on KTTV Fox 11.
Pirate Radio reminds you that free flu shots are available now at L.A. County Clinic. For more information, call KQLZ Los Angeles.
Pirate Radio.
Side of the road that says 15 miles to the left.
100.3 seemed to be one of those jinxed channels in Los Angeles, having a lot of formats that, at best, performed in a mediocre manner. Remember, if you have anything good or exceptional on your radio dial, why not share it with the rest of us? Send your recordings to me, Phil Wayne, at 7545 County Highway 71, Harpster, Ohio, 43323-9364. All of your friends here would be most appreciative. Now, here are the Musilatings from the Musilatings.
Hello, fellow DXers, Wayne Ryan in Brantford, Ontario. Well, Thursday of last week, which was June 21st, my friend Dave Wattmile and I went down to the city of Whitby, where Durham Radio has a store. I wanted to have the hands-on experience one-on-one. I needed a new portable radio. I came away with a Sea Crane EP, which I'm very, very happy with. It was only $90.34, including the tax. And while I was testing the radio out before I bought it, we went out and leaned against the car. I got as far away as two 50,000-watt stations in Cleveland at 1100 and 1220, and a sports station, which is 5,000 watts, in Erie, Pennsylvania, on 1330. At night, I've been able to get as far as WWL New Orleans with the volume down. That is how good it is. It's really a very wonderful radio, and it has a handle, too, that you can tie a shoulder strap around. That's what we've done. I am very happy with it.
Hi, Fred. I have a few questions for you. Number one, I'm looking to know where the following stations are and what they're doing now. 1480 KJOE out of Shreveport, Louisiana. 1320 KXLW 1320 in St. Louis. KXYZ and KWFR. I heard a lot of these from jingles that I have. How about WDXB, Chattanooga, and what are they doing now? I wanted to also tell you that there are a lot of things happening in Miami radio. For example, 103.5 is now back to She 103.5. We play everything. And 106.7 is now English again, but they play all new music. Thank you very much, and have a great day, and I'm looking forward for the convention.
Hi, this is John German in Elmira Heights. Unfortunately, I will not be able to make it to the convention this year because it's a little bit too far out for me to go. As for the cost going from $28 to $30, that's great. I can still, and as for the having the magazine on digital CDs, that's also great. I really welcome that. I have several ways to play CDs, and I have no problem with going to that format. 73s and good DX.
This is John Wesley Smith from Hallsville, Missouri, and once again, there's less music and more sports on AM. I noticed on Monday evening, July 2nd, that 1330 KWLO in Waterloo, Iowa, had dropped an oldies format, a syndicated format that it was carrying, and it is now ESPN 1330.
Hello, Fred and DX members. This is the one and only Victor speaking to you from the Schmidt House in downtown Silver Spring, Maryland. Today is July 3rd, and I got my tape today, and guess what? The power came back on after losing it for 4 days plus, and there were at least 10 stations off the air during the power blackout. I'll give you some of them, 780 WAVA AM and FM 105.1. WWRC was off the air. 900 in Laurel was off the air. 1580 was off the air, WNEW in Hyattsville. So it was quite interesting. I didn't get any stations underneath these frequencies that I would normally have on the air. I would prefer to have my audio service on cassette, and I would not bail if the dues goes up, but I won't have to worry about that until the year 2017. I'm covered for that, and it looks like I am going to the convention.
Greetings, DXers. This is Camille Petreca from Weathersfield, Connecticut. Well, I don't get the Yankees on WPOP 1410 anymore because they went Fox Sports, and now ESPN is on FM at WUCS in Windsor at 97.9. So I get my Yankees on FM. Have a good one, everybody. Bye.
Good afternoon, everyone. Joe Schwab here from Fredericksburg, Virginia, here on July 17th. Got a few things to tell you. First of all, I called WDKD in Kingstree and found out that they are on the air indeed. What happened was they had gotten sold and they had a ownership change, and as a result of this, they had changed formats. They play a variety of gospel music, and they're adding programs every day, they say. Also, the other thing that I want to tell you about was WKCW in Warrenton on 1420 has become an affiliate of the NBC News Network. And also, I was wondering what company does Bubba the Love Sponge use to syndicate his program? Take care and have a good day, everyone.
And that is our musings to the members on this edition of the DX Audio Service. And if you'd like to muse, give us a call at area code 419-741-0205. That's 419-741-0205, 24 hours a day for DX Audio Service and EDXN members. Please keep it brief and to the point so everyone has a chance to speak and make sure it's relevant to all of us. No stories about little LPFM stations unless they're really doing something really, really interesting. Also, if you want to save me some gas and some driving, any members down south, if you could answer Mike Lance's questions, I'd really appreciate it on the formats, what stations are doing today. And we have some announcements to make from the club. First announcement being that in January of 2012, Bill Hale submitted his resignation to Dave Yokas for his columns in DX News Magazine, which is the printed side of the National Radio Club. Subsequently, Bill also resigned from the National Radio Club's Board of Directors. The board has been reviewing candidates that we felt would be able to serve on the board and keep the current goals of the board intact and further our commitment to the membership to keep things moving forward. We thank Bill Hale for his many years on the board and his dedication to keeping the National Radio Club healthy and with information. And it gives us great pleasure for the board of directors to announce that Mark Durenberger has been selected by the Board of Directors to succeed Bill as a member of the Board of Directors. This from Wayne Heinen, Chairman for the National Radio Club's Board. Congratulations, Mark. I'd also like to make mention that it looks like about October is going to be the switchover for us from cassette to CDs. At the time we asked for comments, we only received one comment. So we decided to go ahead without any apprehension with the switchover to CDs. And if anybody is going to have problems with it, we really apologize. But the bottom line is, if we stay with cassettes, we'd have to raise the dues well over $50 or more just to be able to cover our costs. Unfortunately, the National Radio Club is not subsidized by any authority. We have to pick it up all on our own. Also from the National Radio Club headquarters, let's open up the brand new AM Radio Log 33rd edition for pre-orders. We'll give you the prices in a second. We need to mention that all orders to Canada are now shipped global priority due to the changes in the pricing structure in overseas postage rates. We expect to begin shipping around August the 27th. So if you're interested, here are the prices. Non-member price is $28.95. Member price, $22.95. All over Canada, $32. And overseas, $36. We also got a piece of information from James Niven, who's got a publication out called The FM Radio Log. It's the first edition, and it's available at www.fmradiolog.com. And he writes, the FM Radio Log covers Canada and the United States. The log is in the same format and detail as the AM Radio Log, which we're all accustomed to. If you have any interest in DXing FM broadcast stations, then do yourself a favor and drop by and take a look. There is downloadable samples that you can see. Due to the large number of FM stations in Canada and the United States, I decided it would be available as a downloadable file of around 5.5 megabytes. Please feel free to pass this along to anyone else who might be interested in FM radio. Price is $35. This from James Niven, not affiliated with the National Radio Club AM log. Speaking of FM, the National Radio Club's Publication Center has obtained the remaining copies of the 21st edition of the FM Atlas. It's the final edition of that definitive North American FM station guide that was published by the late Dr. Bruce Elving before his untimely passing last year. If you don't have a copy, you can order it for $15 postpaid to the U.S. or $18.50 to Canadian addresses, same prices for non-National Radio Club members. If you wish to forward a tip on to somebody outside the country, please ask them to contact the National Radio Club's Publication Center at sales@nrcdxas.org for a quote on the postage costs. The quantity is limited, and they just have a few books on hand, so you can order those from the Publication Center. Also, make your plans for this year's National Radio Club WTFDA convention. That's going to be August the 3rd through the 5th in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Convention host Bill and Brenda Swiger advise, if you're attending the convention, you really need to call the Days Inn and Suites right now and make your reservations as soon as possible. Apparently, there are new people running the hotel now, and they say they cannot keep the rooms indefinitely after Friday, July 20th. The area is full of oil and gas workers on the Marcellus Shale project, and rooms are very scarce right now. If you aren't sure whether you're going to make it, call now and make your room reservation. And if you find out you can't attend, you can always cancel. But after the 20th, you're on your own. And if you're unable to attend the National Radio Club Convention, you might want to attend the 19th annual Madison-Milwaukee get-together for DXers and radio enthusiasts. It will be held Saturday, August the 18th, beginning at 1 p.m. Central Daylight Time. This year's location is Madison, Wisconsin. And your hosts are Bill and Nina Dvorak. For more information, please email Bill at dxerak@aol.com. Please include Madison DXGTG in the subject line. Or you can write to him at 3358 Ridgeway Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53704. Or if you prefer, you can call him at area code 608-244-5497. Participation by National Radio Club members is strong every year for this event, and this year should be no exception. We hope you can join us at the Madison Milwaukee get together. And finally, a sad note. One of our biggest supporters of AM radio and the National Radio Club's DX audio service, Kahn Communications CEO Leonard Kahn, has passed away on June 3rd in Florida from natural causes. Leonard Kahn was 86 years old. Kahn's Kahn Hazeltine AM stereo design was an independent sideband system that used independently modulated upper and lower sidebands. One of the best-known stations to use the Kahn system was WLS in Chicago. His system remained competitive with Motorola's Sequam system into the late 80s. Kahn filed a lawsuit claiming that Motorola's system did not meet the FCC's emission bandwidth specification, but by the time the suit got around, Sequam had already been declared as the single standard for AM stereo in the U.S. Kahn's AM stereo design was later revamped for monophonic use and used for the power side system, in which a decreased signal on one sideband was used to improve coverage and loudness with the other sideband. Power side became the basis for CAM-D, compatible AM digital, a digital system that is still in use today on several AM stations. Kahn worked for RCA Labs for many years and turned out numerous numerous patents. He is considered one of the five fathers of the wireless industry. In 1997, the United States District Court for the Southern District of New York ruled that Kahn had title to U.S. patent number 4,018,994 in a suit. He sued General Motors and won for infringement of that patent for use of AM stereo in car radios. Kahn also had filed a lawsuit in federal court in New York in 2006 alleging that Ubiquiti Digital, Lucent, and Clear Channel violated antitrust laws with the implementation of the Ubiquiti AM Digital System, or IBOC. Kahn said in his complaint that they had formed a broadcast cartel seeking to block others from buying his CAMD system. That suit was not heard by the Supreme Court on appeal. Leonard's wife, Ruth, preceded him in death, and the couple had no children. Later in life, Kahn published a book called Procee, A Fool for a Client. He also had a website of wrathofkahn.org.
Hello, this is Thomas Witherspoon. I've been a shortwave radio listener since I was 8 years old, some 32 years ago. It all started when I was a child growing up in rural North Carolina. Every Sunday morning, my father would turn on his beautiful antique 1936 RCA 6K3 console radio, and he'd tune to WWV in Fort Collins, Colorado. He liked to keep his watch set to that famous voice of the atomic clock. Occasionally, we'd tune around a bit more and hear voices from all over the world after he set his watch, and this hooked me. As a child with a strong interest in geography, history, politics, and travel, I learned that through shortwave radio listening, I could hear unfiltered voices from across the globe. This was in the late 1970s, long before the internet, and long before mobile phones. I think what I like about radio and shortwave listening in general is that it's simplicity itself. All it takes to listen to the pulse of the globe is an inexpensive portable radio. It doesn't matter how remotely you live on this planet either. You see, shortwave radio has no regard for borders. No internet required. The following's an article from my blog, the SW Welling Post. It's entitled, Radio Netherlands Says Farewell in Style.
This is Radio Netherlands, the Dutch International Service. I'm Jonathan Gruber. Radio Netherlands, the Dutch International Service. There. I've said it for nearly the last time after 65 years on the air.
Thursday night, by the light of an oil lamp, I tuned my trusty Sony portable shortwave to 6165 kilohertz. And at 2 o'clock UTC, I was rewarded with a rich, full signal from Radio Netherlands Worldwide's transmission site in Bonaire. Here in this off-grid vacation cabin on 60 rural acres by the sea, I bask in the freedom from electrical noise that might otherwise interfere with my shortwave radio listening. At least in this respect, this is the perfect de-expedition cabin. The signal coming out of Bonaire, however, would have overcome any interference. Radio Netherlands, you see, my dear friend of some 32 years, had opened a special frequency for those of us in eastern North America in order to say their goodbyes to the airwaves. I can only describe the experience of listening as radio bliss, pure radio bliss, marred only by the bittersweet realization that these were RNW's final days on the air. The experience harkened back to the day when the big broadcasters had booming signals directed toward us. But alas, all too brief. The broadcast was simply entitled Farewell and Thank You. You can hear it just as I heard it through the recording I made and posted on my website. Then all day Friday, for nearly 24 hours straight, RNW bid goodbye and farewell to various parts of the world via shortwave, satellite, and the internet. I was lucky enough to catch two more broadcasts. This time of day at 1900 UTC, however, I needed bigger ears than the Sony could provide. I was listening to broadcasts targeting West and East Africa, not North America. Having already charged my laptop battery, I plugged in the Bonito RadioJet, a software-based receiver that I'm currently reviewing. And just before 1900 UTC, directed her towards 17605 kHz. Though my Sony found the signal barely audible, the RadioJet produced beautiful fidelity. This RNW broadcast entitled The First 50 Years took listeners through the highlights and history of the Dutch radio service. Again, you can listen to the recording on my website. At 20 hours UTC, RNW broadcast their very final show. I repeat a farewell and thank you, appropriately targeting Africa once more. I tuned the dial to 11615 kHz and listened again to the full broadcast. This time, however, as the program drew to a close, the broadcast crew added a personal message. Jonathan Gruber, the talented host of The State We're In, broadcasted live from Hilversum's Studio 4 for a deeply touching adieu. Tears were shed, and I'm not ashamed to confess that I, too, listened through a haze of them, as these capable and dedicated journalists, who I've grown to trust, signed off RNW Airwaves for the last time. RNW, my dear radio friends, I'm going to miss you. Your personalities and the collective personality of RNW itself, your award-winning content, news, reporting, and your integrity stood out amongst all those Cold War broadcasters I listened to growing up, who, as you so well put, were merely mouthpieces for their respective governments. Radio Nederland, I loved your broadcasting because you were fearless. You marched to the beat of your own drummer. We're not afraid to turn a critical eye even upon yourself. And as a result, in a world of sham journalism, compromise, and hypocrisy, you earned my trust. You had nothing to hide, and you had so many stories to tell. And Radio Nederland, I listened. I wish you and your intrepid creators the very best in all that you do. I trust your new incarnations, whatever form they take, will do much good in this world, which so sorely needs it, and sincerely believe that your integrity will live on. Thank you.
So it is fitting that we end here live, and we're just minutes from the very end of the very last broadcast of Radio Netherlands in English. Dutch has already closed, and most of the other services are closing down as well today. And there's been a party atmosphere at the station. This will be in stark contrast with the silence of the near-empty building come Monday. And for this last broadcast, this is how we're going to go out. Right now, we're going to start the bells. I'm sure that most of you recognize this. It's Meer Toch Hoesterk, our interval signal that would announce Radio Netherlands' arrival to the shortwaves. And we'll play the bells to the end. And when they finish, we'll do something a little different. We'll play the Dutch national anthem, De Wilhelmus. And then there will be silence. You won't hear from us again on shortwave. But this isn't the end. Our new task, for the few of us who are left behind, will be to build something new and ambitious. For 65 years, we have been a broadcaster that has had the tremendous good fortune to be totally editorially independent. We were never a government mouthpiece. This was a rare thing during the heydays of shortwave, and it is today. So, as of Monday, we are being asked to look at the world and to search for places where the media is less than free and lend a hand. And in some cases, we'll be going to them, and where that's not possible, we will help them come to us. It's a worthy task, and I, for one, am happy to do it because, frankly, that's what we were doing anyway. Right? Hundreds of you have written in over the last weeks. We've read all your comments, and we feel really great about them, so thank you so much for writing. And above all, thank you for listening. Thank you for valuing what we did. Thank you for letting us know it was worthwhile. We are profoundly moved, and we hope that sometimes we moved you too. As Dr. Seuss said, don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened. And so, on behalf of all of us here, for the last time from Hilversum in Holland, this is Radio Netherlands, the Dutch International Service. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.
Goodbye!
You can find my website, the SWLing Post, at www.swling.com/blog.
The following is an article by Leslie Stimson in Radio World magazine entitled All Digital AM Tests on the Table. Members of the NAB Radio Engineering Committee are pondering testing Ubiquiti Digital's all digital AM system. The idea is one of several that has been bandied about, I hear, as part of the overarching goal of helping medium and small market AMs without a powerful signal remain economically viable. Beasley has committed to finding a station to test on, and at least two other broadcast groups have as well, Beasley's Vice President of Engineering, Mike Cooney, tells me. The key is finding an underperforming station and turning off the analog temporarily in order to test the all-digital system both day and night. Years ago, I remember Ubiquiti conducting tests of its AM all-digital technology and anecdotally reported an increase in coverage. But that was with the HD gear of several generations ago. It would be interesting to see all-digital AM performance with the HD radio gear of today. Ubiquiti has also said for years that the interference issues inherent with the AM band could potentially be improved with an all-digital system. Other potential upsides? With all-digital, your bandwidth goes from 30 kHz back down to 20 kHz, said Cooney, who adds an all-digital AM system also requires less transmission power. Granted, some AMs may need equipment upgrades to make an all-digital chain work. Beasley is especially interested in results, having previously turned off the digital on several of its AMs due to interference concerns we've reported. The idea of the testing is to get some real-world data over a sustained period of time and quantify the results. We would do before and after signal measurements to compare analog and digital coverage differences, he tells me. Testing would also determine whether an all-digital signal caused any first adjacent interference or improved existing interference. Drive tests will be conducted in rural and city areas in several markets. Committee members still need to identify test stations. The idea of testing the all-digital system is intriguing, as struggling AM owners try different things to keep their stations relevant as consumers increasingly turn their attention to FM and online options. While big market AM powerhouses remain profitable, the economic picture is not so rosy for other AMs, some of which have increasingly turned to rebroadcasting their signal on FM translators. For the DX Audio Service, I'm Bruce Winkleman.
Say it isn't so. the disco Duck King has gone. Right before the holiday, Clear Channel announced that Rick Dees will no longer be hosting Morning Drive on KHHT Hot 92.3 in Los Angeles. The news was first reported in the Orange County Register. A memo sent out by market manager Greg Ashlock said, "Rick has been with us for a year, and we've thoroughly enjoyed every moment. He's a consummate professional, and we wish him the best as he pursues some natural opportunities. John Ivey will be sharing with you our morning plans in the future later on this week."
Dateline Washington, D.C. The Federal Communications Commission's Consumer and Governmental Affairs Bureau announces the launch of the National Deaf Blind Equipment Distribution Program, the NDB-EDP, effective July 1, 2012. The Commission is pleased to take this affirmative step toward inclusion in our nation's communication systems by individuals who are deaf and blind. The NDB-EDP will begin to fill existing equipment and technology gaps to meet the communications access needs of this underserved population, which until now largely has been denied the opportunity to enjoy the full benefits that these systems can provide. The Commission established the NDB-EDP in response to the 21st Century Communications and Video Accessibility Act, or the CVAA. The CVAA directed the Commission to establish a program using funding of up to $10 million annually from the Interstate Telecommunications Relay Service Fund, or the TRS Fund, for the nationwide distribution of communications equipment to low-income individuals who are deaf or blind. On April 4, 2011, the Commission adopted the NDB-EDP pilot order, establishing the framework for a 2 to 3 year pilot program to fulfill this CVAA mandate. Today, the Commission announced the selection of 53 applicants to become certified programs authorized to distribute equipment under the NDB-EDP in each of the 50 states, the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. A list of those entities and their contact information will be available on the Commission's website at http://www.fcc.gov/encyclopedia/national-deaf-blind-equipment-distribution-program. One entity per state is certified as eligible to receive support from the TRS Fund for the distribution of this equipment. Each NDB-EDP certified entity will have primary oversight and responsibility for compliance with the Commission's program requirements, but may fulfill its responsibilities either directly or through collaboration, partnership, or contract with other individuals or entities in-state or out-of-state. In addition to the distribution of equipment, each certified program may provide and be reimbursed for reasonable costs of related services provided to the covered population, including local outreach, individual assessments, individual training, and equipment installation and maintenance that may be needed to effectively provide a person who is deaf or blind with the equipment that he or she needs to access the communication services covered by the CVAA. Each certified program may also obtain an allowance for certain costs associated with administering its program. Recently, the Commission also announced the selection of the Perkins School for the Blind and its affiliated partners to conduct national outreach efforts to provide the NDB-EDP pilot. The Commission has set aside $500,000 of the $10 million annually available for the NDB-EDP for these national outreach efforts during each year of the pilot program. The remaining $9.5 million of the annual funding will be used to reimburse certified programs for the reasonable costs of distributing equipment and providing related services to low-income individuals who are deaf or blind. Funding allocations for 2012 through 2013 are calculated by allocating a minimum base amount of $50,000 to each jurisdiction, plus a portion of the available funds based on the population of each of these jurisdictions. For the DX Audio Service, I'm Bruce Winkleman.
And that's it for this edition of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for August 2012. I think we had a good issue, don't you think? Well, we're still going through those surveys and other information that you've sent in to us, trying to figure out exactly what kind of material you'd like to hear. And hopefully we met it on this edition. But it goes without saying, if you have some information, a column that you'd like to have featured here on the DX Audio Service, please send it to me, or at least contact me via the information at the start of the tape. And we'll see if we can have you on as either a Market Scope participant or just doing a column on radio. But until next time, get out and support radio, even if it's in Cleveland, Ohio.
WGAR, Cleveland, Ohio.